try my best not to be before you long today. We have a second service. I'm praying that everyone makes it out. It's our pastor's anniversary service this evening. Starts at 6 o'clock. It's a great man of God that's on his way. And I'm believing that he has a word for God's people. Amen? Amen. I said this on social media, and I'm going to say it to you to your face. I won't be walking in here. We got visiting ministers coming, and four people show up for the pastor's anniversary. Amen. Amen. We've had that happen before. Amen. But I believe that we have spiritually matured to the point to where we know where we need to be, when we need to be there. Amen. Listen, we're dealing with this sermon series entitled Community. And this is the third segment, I believe, of the sermon series entitled Community. And I told you last week that I think that this is probably by far the most important series that we've ever done. And the reason that this series is so important is because it is the framework for how the church is supposed to be. We are putting things together now that putting things in alignment that will help the church function at its optimum potential. Amen. And so last week we talked a little bit about Nehemiah and how he had received news that where he came from, his country, his people were in distress, and the gates of his country had been not just broken down or tore down, but they had been burned. And the Bible tells us that Nehemiah was in great distress, and he cried out and he wept and he fasted, and finally he got favor from the king. He got favor from the king to go and rebuild the wall. We skipped over chapter 2 and jumped right into chapter 3, and we really didn't rock with it. I wanted you to see that there was 38 people named in the book of Nehemiah in chapter 3. 38 different people that talked about who played a part and did what. But I need you to understand there was 38 people named, but there was 42 people groups. 42 different people groups. And what does that let us know? It let us know that when it is that we are going to, when God has sanctioned or governed you to do something crazy on his behalf, it's going to take people. Amen. My agenda was on point last week because, as you saw, who all done all of these things to make sure that this great wall was built in 52 days. That's right. 52 days, the wall was restored. I, at the end of the service, concluded that we needed 18 people. I didn't mind if we double dipped with people on the cleaning crew, but if we had 18 more people, if these slots and positions could be filled, then what it would do is put us in a position to be able to say, now the house is in alignment, let's go get the world. Everybody should have jumped up. See, and this is what we're going to start doing from now on. Every time that there is a reason that you should shout, that you should praise, I'm going to let you know. And the reason that I feel like I need to do that is because I believe that the enemy has conditioned us and crushed us to the point to where we don't really know what to praise for. So let me just make that plain. I watched people go crazy when UK made a comeback yesterday. I watched them in a restaurant, people lose their mind as they walked away with the victory. I watched people lose their mind even more when Tennessee beat Alabama yesterday. And I wondered to myself, I thought to myself, what if we, when we scored, we knew how to shout? Oh, Lord, what do you mean, Pastor? When I wake up in the morning, I ought to wake up with a dance in my feet simply because I woke up this morning. Every day you wake up and you see, or you hear on social media news or the news itself, that somebody didn't wake up this morning. And if I don't lose my mind for no other reason, I'm just happy to be in the land of the living. When I begin to think about myself and all that I've put myself through and my body through and my mind through, I understand that I probably should not be here. But as I said before, because God is faithful, watch this. And I'm not shouting because I'm woke. I'm shouting because he's faithful. Yeah. I'm shouting because he's faithful. 52 days it took Nehemiah to build the wall. But I want you to understand, they built the wall in 52 days, but to fortify it properly the way that it needed to be, it took about 4 years. Can I just go ahead and say that one of the most powerful things a church can endure is longevity. Amen. We got to quit getting upset and leaving because things didn't go our way. Amen. because the songs that you like ain't being sung, or because the pastor said something over the pulpit that offended you. Can I just say that if you're offended by something that comes from the pulpit, 9 times out of 10, it's because you're guilty by something that was said in the pulpit? Let me get into this. For the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing, as I said, with this sermon series entitled Community. And we've also been using a working definition for the word community that reads as follows. Community is defined as a feeling of fellowship with others as a result of sharing common attitudes, interests, and goals. And we came to understand that the attitude we should all be sharing as a Christian community is the mind and the attitude of Jesus. And this was confirmed in the Word of God, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. And it said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And the Apostle Paul, every time that I read that, I always feel like the Apostle Paul was trying his best to say in the nicest way, "We don't need your thinking." In fact, in prison, we used to have a saying. It used to say, "My best thinking got me here." So when you begin to go for actual worship, and actual worship is going from where you were or where you are right now to where Jesus actually is. When you begin to worship to the point to where it changes your life completely, everything about your life is changed. The Bible says, "Behold, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." That's worship, when everything in your life becomes new. Worship, watch this. How is that worship, Pastor? Because what you're saying is, I understand that me alone has nothing. But because I worship him, I become him by doing everything he does. Lord, have mercy. I want you to understand this, because this is a critical piece, and it's going to be the shortest part of this series, but it's going to probably be the most important. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And this is critical unto this entire series, because without this verse being activated or applied, this ends up being just another sermon series. This is the series where we have to take everything in and say, "I'm rocking with that." Or they will just keep on killing each other. They will just keep on dying of overdose. They will just keep on killing themselves. They will just keep on staying in relationships that are not of God. They will just keep on staying high. They'll keep staying drunk. You understand? This is the series where we set the alignment, where we draw the line in the sand and say, "This is who we are, and this is what we are about." Lord, have mercy. Let me be clear. Let me be very clear. The Word of God is so powerful, so amazing, so able to transform anyone who picks it up and desires change. I'm talking about supernatural change. The Word of God can create supernatural change in your life. And I just want to go ahead and put this out there. If you've been reading the Bible for any amount of time, but you being real with yourself and say, "It ain't really much changed about me," then all you are doing is reading the Bible and not studying the Bible. All you are doing is reading the Bible, not studying the Bible, nor are you applying the Bible. But when you begin to apply, when you begin to study, when you begin to commit yourself to the ways of God, to the Word of God, when you say, "Enough is enough." In the streets, we used to say, "I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." When you come to the point in your life where you say, "For him I live and for him I die," you understand what I'm saying to you? Then you will begin to experience supernatural transformation. If I don't know anything else in my lifetime, I know that I don't ever want to be who I used to be. I love being transformed. You understand what I'm saying to you? But here is the problem. Here's the problem. The Word, watch this, only has power in and on your life if you use it. The Word only has power in and on your life if you use it. Lord, have mercy. I want you to get this. Just as when you go to the doctor, and on the strength of whatever it is that you're going through, they prescribe you a medicine. They prescribe this medicine because they have been doing this for a minute, and for the most part, they are extremely confident that it will, if taken properly, it will bring forth healing and relief. Yeah, you catch that? There's a problem even in that. Here lies that problem. If the medicine is taken properly, if the medicine was taken at all, because if the meds aren't properly or consistently taken, the meds have very little chance to none to do their job. May I suggest that a lot of people in the Unity Worship Center have been coming, but they ain't been taking the medicine. So you come sick, leave sick. You come sick and leave sick. And watch this, Satan ain't worried about you because you ain't getting what it is that you need to transform. And so what happens is you begin to see people around you that are operating in God, operating in the things of God. You're seeing them have supernatural success, and you begin to believe that maybe this just ain't for me. No, baby, it's not that it's not for you, but what it is for you to do is to do it all. Take the medicine. Take the medicine. You can't do you and still do God. It's not possible. You have to choose who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve the world? Or are you going to serve God? Lord have mercy. So is the same for the word of God. Its power is only possible once it's allowed. Remember this verse. It says, let this mind be in you. The most important word in that verse is let. Lord have mercy. Now this gets a bit interesting, because the word let simply means to not prevent, to not forbid, and not allow. To not prevent, to not forbid, and to not allow. That's heavy right there. I want you to get that little word is so heavy when it comes to kingdom business and assignment, because watch this. God is a gentleman. He ain't going to force himself on you. So you have to let this mind be in you, which was all so in Christ Jesus. And it was written, and in it is within the definition of the word let, that we have to come to the root of the problem. Check this out. This is what I peeped when I seen this morning. Let showed me the whole problem. Took me to the root of the problem about people who confess Christianity but don't really be Christian-ish. Is that a word? Put it in my dictionary. Amen. Christian-ish. See, it's nice to say I'm saved. It sounds real holy to say that I'm a child of God. But the reality is, if you have been preventing, forbidding, or not allowing the word into your life, then there is no way there can be change. In fact, let me just show you this real quick. Can I see your Bible, DA? This is a Bible. This is a very used Bible. DA goes through things. Life throws him cold hands. But he's able to walk through the fire with a praise in his spirit because he takes his medicine. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, this is the most powerful book that has ever and will ever exist. Amen? But the thing is, imagine in your minds that we at my house. And we at Kenneth's house. Now, if we have the Bible. And you remember back in the day, you had, when you walk in everybody's house, they have a Bible in plain sight. Didn't necessarily mean that they read it. People just said, at least I got the Lord in my house. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, here's the thing. Walk with me, Kenneth, next to this most powerful book. Nothing happens. Let's try it again. Maybe we was tripping. Nothing happened. We are still the same old us that we was before we walked past the Bible. It will not be until, Lord have mercy, thank you, Kenneth. It will not be until you begin to get in this Bible, study this word, take the medicine, and then be healed, set free, and delivered. You understand what I'm saying to you? The problem that we have in the 21st century Christian westernized church is everybody want to be spiritual, but don't nobody want to be with God. Everybody want to be holy. Everybody want to be a preacher, but don't nobody want to study. Don't nobody want to read the word. Everybody wants to be blessed, but don't nobody want to pray. You understand what I'm saying to you? You will never be, thank you, sir. You will never be all it is that you're called to be in God if you're not in his word. And stop fooling yourself. If you do not read the word, you are not saved and you are not a Christian. Come on. You don't get to say you saved just because you say you saved. God's not to be bullied. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. There is no way there can be transformation if you are not receiving the word. And I want you to understand this. This is a form of spiritual cancer that has been spreading throughout the Christian community for years. People claiming but not letting. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We claim it, but we don't let it. What you mean, Pastor? That's why you can come out of church and cuss somebody out, because you claim it, but you've yet to let it. That's why you can come out of church and do things that you know that you shouldn't do that is contrary to the word of God, because we claim it, but we've not let it. And see, Satan don't mind you claiming long as you don't let it. Can I say that again? Satan, no, he don't care about you claiming it. He don't care nothing about how jazzy you talk. He don't care about how nice you dress for church. He don't care what you do. He don't care about you claiming it long as you don't let it. Lord, have mercy. As long as you don't let it. Hallelujah. I'm going to say this again. And the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He is not going to force his way on you. You have to let him lead you. And the problem with the 21st century westernized church is we're not letting the Holy Spirit lead us because we're too busy following the ways of the world. We're too busy following the ways of the world. We're too busy following Satan's plan. You know, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will bring all things back to your remembrance. And that happened to me this morning while I was working on this. I remember one day, Miriam and I, we were in Louisville and we both noticed something. We was out in St. Matthew's, one of the nicer parts of Louisville and location wise. And it was brighter in St. Matthew's, and the atmosphere had a mood or a feeling of happiness. There was a feeling of positivity and growth in this community. And we were riding, we wasn't really even in the residential part of it. We were just riding, and I said, baby, you see how much brighter it is out here? Same sun, same city. Lord have mercy. But it was brighter in the suburbs. You understand what I'm saying to you? But when we got back to the West End, we noticed that it was much darker. It had only been a 30-minute time frame that it elapsed, but it was darker in the West End. And the vibe you got was negativity, struggle, anger, and depression. And while remembering that this morning, the Holy Spirit said, the difference in the ghettos and the suburbs is not the zip codes. The difference in the ghettos and the suburbs is not the size of town, but the difference in the communities is the attitude. It's the mindset. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so can I just go ahead and release this word over the Unity Worship Center today? The difference between us and some of these churches in the city that's bawling out of control is not the number of members. That's not the issue. It's not all the programs these churches offer. It's not because their building is full of white people or black people, Latino or Chinese people. That's not the issue, or any other nationality for that matter. The difference between us and the megachurch is the attitude. That's the difference. See, and I've got a saying that I've been saying for years. I say that we want to go over there to Winburn and colonize Winburn. I want to colonize Winburn. And if you remember, if you were on the virtual or you've been here Wednesday night, then you would remember we talked about colonization. And what happens is colonization is when a kingdom goes and takes over another kingdom, and the kingdom that they take over, they begin to incorporate the ways of the dominating kingdom. That's what we ought to be doing as the kingdom of God. We ought to be walking up in neighborhoods, kingdoms of darkness that are ran by the enemy on every level, and we ought to be decreeing and declaring, this now is holy ground. Nothing will ever be the same up through here. You understand what I'm saying to you? And everything and everybody in Winburn, watch this, should begin to transform, to begin to look like us. Lord, have mercy. You want colonization. That's what you're supposed to be. You remember I told you a couple of weeks back that my grandmother used to sing an old song, Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. You've been building your city all over this town, but Satan, we're going to tear your kingdom down. You don't get that song and get the feeling that they was just singing it from church. You understand what I'm saying to you? We're going to tear your kingdom down from the inside. No, baby. What they said was, we're not running from you. In fact, we are looking for you. In fact, we are searching you out because everywhere we see anything that identifies or reflects to your nature, we are coming after it to tear it down. I don't want to move the people out of Winburn. I want to move the attitude. I want to move the mentality out of Winburn. I want to move the mentality out of Hollow Creek and Green Acres. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I want to colonize it with an attitude of God. Lord, have mercy. Yeah. You don't just get to stay in our city no more unconfronted. You don't just get to kill our children no more and not have beef behind it. Satan, we're here to tear your kingdom down. And let me just go ahead and say this. I hear you, Holy Ghost. Stop missing the reason that we're here. Stop missing the reason that we exist. We exist to save the lost. And to propel or to grow the saved into a place of where they are more dominant when it comes to the things of God. We ain't here because they sang good and they sang good. We ain't here because the preacher's dope, and I heard the preacher's dope. Remember that day I went from the hospital and I called you up and I said, we've been doing it all wrong, Kim. We've been giving away cereal and putting our names on it, hoping that people will come back. We've been giving away food boxes and putting our names on it, hoping that people come back. And God said, I just wanted you to feed the people. I'll grow the church. I just want y'all to feed the people. And we sat back and said, and we sat back and we was wondering. We ain't had one person join the church from that because it was never for that. It was never for that. And Satan was saying, give them boxes of cereal. Give them boxes of cereal because there was a plan. You understand what I'm saying to you? Watch this. I hear you, Holy Ghost. The plan was that we gave away over, 700-800 boxes of cereal? I'm talking about a box of cereal that had four big bags of cereal in each box. So, you know, you could easily say we gave away about 2,800 boxes of cereal because it was the ones that you would buy in the Walmart. Every bag was that big. And the enemy was going, keep on giving them cereal and keep on giving them the food boxes. And when they don't come back, watch this, it's going to mess with y'all's head. Can I just go ahead and decree and declare that the church ain't never looked this big in size and we ain't gave nobody nothing in a long time? All we supposed to do is feed the people and he will grow the church. Lord, have mercy. All of these trickeries and gimmicks and games to build the ministry. And Jesus gave us all the simple math to how we grow the church. He says, and I. Then he came back and said, if I be lifted up, I draw all. So all we going to do, I'm glad that the praise team can sing, and I'm glad that the preacher can lightweight preach, and I'm glad that we got the services that bless the needy and all of that. But the main thing that we going to do down through here is lift Jesus up. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Since the release of my book in March, my failures qualify me, shameless plug. If you haven't gotten it, I've got copies in the office. Since my book release in March, I've been blessed to be able to do a small book tour and even more blessed to preach in some of the more financially stable churches in the Church of God in Kentucky. And before I got on this tour, I said, yeah, it's real easy to shine when you got all the money. It's real easy to shine when you got all the people that's got all the money that believe in, that, you know, that's going to throw the money. But what blew my mind, and I come back home to tell you guys, that the difference between their community and ours is not the money. The difference between their community and ours is not the number of people. The difference between their community and ours is the attitude of the people. The mindset, I could tell that everyone from the pastor to the janitor loved God. And God was first. From the moment that I walked in and they say, good to see you, Brother Lyons. Good to see you, Sister Lyons. I began to realize they loved God more than they loved anything. See, love feel love. You, this world is so cold-blooded. You know when it's love because it feels like something that you ain't felt in a long time. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so when I'm walking in this church, I'm like, Lord, have mercy. It's intoxicating. They actually want to be here. No one looks like they're being forced to do their job. If I was a betting man, I'd bet they didn't have to beg anybody to do anything. The difference between these mega churches, these multi-million dollar churches that I was preaching in is attitude. Attitude. You understand what I'm saying to you? I'm not saying that they're perfect, but I will say to you that you could tell that they was all in. That's where I'm excited today, even about the Unity Worship Center, because at the last end of the service last week, I put up a paper and said, I need this full. And I just come to declare that y'all came down here and filled the paper. I had young folk coming down here saying, I'm going to help my church, signing up for ministries. You understand what I'm saying to you? Saying, I'm going to be a blessing to the house of the Lord that I'm connected to. I thank God. I had like four or five teenagers that was like, I'm all in. Sign me up. Lord, have mercy. The mindset, it's all about the mindset. And I'm not saying that they're perfect. You could just tell that they were determined to be all they were called to be. And you could tell that they loved their church community. They loved their community. Let me tell you something. When you see visitors walk in and it's the first time that you've ever seen them, they ought to be the first. You need to break conversation with whoever you're kicking it with and go lay hands on them. Like, come here. Just hug on them. I love you. God bless you. It is so good to see you. Because you should do that because you care about this baby. You understand? You care about the health of the church. You understand what I'm saying to you? See, the reason why the old folk was so powerful was because God was everything. He wasn't just a Sunday morning go hang out spot. He was everything. You heard it in the car on the 8-tracks. You know, my Gigi had an 8-track. On the 8-tracks and the tape decks, you heard church. She wasn't just saved on Sunday and Wednesday night. She was saved all through the week. And let me go ahead and tell y'all this. The reason that this thing isn't working out for some of us in here today is because we only save when we're around the other so-called saved people. But you got to learn how to be saved when ain't nobody else around. Who are you when ain't nobody else around you? Who are you when the church folk ain't around you? Who are you when you're in the midst of a bunch of sinners and people who don't trust God for everything? Who are you for real? That's the question that you ask. And be real and honest about your answer. Not so that it can hurt you, but so that it can show you where you need to be and what it is that you need to do. Lord have mercy. So here's the point I desire to push home today. If you are not healthy spiritually, and I want you to catch this because this is major. If you are not healthy spiritually, you're not healthy at all. I don't care how much you work out. I don't care how many miles you can jog. If you're not healthy spiritually, you are not healthy at all. And if we have within the community more unhealthy people than we have healthy people, that means that we have an unhealthy church community. See, if you're unhealthy, it's not that you're just unhealthy at home. But you are unhealthy everywhere you go because that spirit travels with you. I've heard people say stuff like this, and if you said it, don't even raise your hand, just go, ooh. I've heard people say, you know, I'll be all good till I get home. Guess what? You're not all good till you get home, because if you was all good, you wouldn't be talking about home while you're away from home. That spirit's rocking with you. I can't do this and I can't do that because of home. That's a spirit. And so if we have a building where the unhealthy outnumber the healthy, then we have an unhealthy church and an unhealthy community, and it is critical that we begin to turn that thing around. Well, watch this. That ain't on Unity. That's on you. Stop expecting the church to fix all your woes. That's not our job. The job is to teach you the word of God. You apply the word of God, operate in the word of God, and God does all the shifting and changing. And see, the problem is when you begin to put your whole existence on my shoulders, if I fail you, then you connect me to God and you look like God failed you. I'm a whole human. And I ain't never told you to follow me. I ain't never told you to follow me. I'm a whole human. And I follow God. I ain't gonna follow y'all. So why y'all trying to follow me? I ain't putting my worth in y'all. Why y'all putting it in me? I will not steal God's glory. And these things that we need done, these things that's going on in our lives, these things that needs transformation, if you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm just trying to lead you to God so you can experience that transformation, because I don't want you to transform and then say, Pastor Lyons blessed me. No, Pastor Lyons didn't. I will not steal God's glory. So let me make it plain and yet take it deeper. If you are unhappy at home, you are unhappy, period. If you are unhappy at home, you are unhappy, period. If your home is out of order, if your home has no peace, if your home is full of frustration, depression, arguing, unsaved behavior, then that's the you everywhere you go. Did you hear what I just said? Let me say that again, because that is very, very deep right there. If your home is out of order, if your home has no peace, if your home is full of frustration, depression, arguing, and unsaved behavior, then that is the you everywhere you go. Folk don't even know you wear your depression like clothing. Like clothing. You wear your frustration like clothing. Your bitterness like clothing. And I want you to understand, because the church is made up of a lot of different homes, and the mentality, see, the church is made up on the mentality of every home in here. So, Lord, have mercy. Of every home, this is the community, amen? The community, the church community, the community of unity is made up on every last one of y'all's homes and the attitude that governs your home. So, watch this. I want you to catch this. So the health of the church is really contingent upon the health of you. So my question to every one of you in here today is, and I want you to really hear this, since the health of the church is contingent upon each and every one of you, my question today is, how are you doing? Now, I want to get a look at everybody. How are you doing? If how the church is operating is contingent upon how you are mentally, emotionally, spiritually, how are you? And more importantly, since you know how you doing for real, not what you show me and show other people, how are we doing? Lord, have mercy. Stop coming here thinking that it's supposed to be an abracadabra moment and all your woes are gone. No, you have to put work in. I had to put work in to stop selling drugs. I had to put work in to stop using drugs. You understand? And I didn't leave that up to nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. People ask, 14 years you've been clean. I ain't smoked a blunt, ain't smoked. And people knew I smoked weed like a Jamaican. You ain't smoked weed, you ain't drank. 14 years, how'd you pull that off? Jesus. Let me tell you something. I couldn't put my trust up because the Bible told me, don't put your trust in the princes and don't put your trust in the men. I couldn't trust nobody at a 12-step program to help me with my deliverance from drugs. I don't know if they still getting high on the low. And this is how I can stand here confidently and tell you that word will transform. But you got to, oh, Lord, have mercy. Anybody ever just been in hell in your mind? Just hell, just every time you turn, you just can't find a real reason to smile. You making yourself laugh. You don't find nothing funny. You just, all you want, you ever been so depressed, all you want to do is just get to the bed. I just want to get to the bed. I want to get, I've been so depressed at times. My wife jump into bed and she fine. Lord, have mercy, she fine. I'd be like, you better get on away from here. You ever been that depressed? You just don't want to deal with nobody. I'm telling you, there is an antidote, there is a medicine, there is a prescription, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And I'm passionate on the strength of that, because that medicine, that man, he saved me. He saved me. I don't get high because I'm strong. I get high. I don't get high because I know Jesus. I don't drink because I'm strong. I don't not drink because I'm strong. I don't drink because I know Jesus. How are you doing? How you are doing on a whole is how the church is doing, period. Ah, Lord, have mercy. That's why some of y'all's marriages is going through hell and high water. Because the enemy knows that as long as the home front ain't right, you ain't going to be right for church. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's, oh, Lord, have mercy. So some of you better stop thinking. See, the Bible, oh, God, I'm going to help somebody in here. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So married couples, when y'all begin to go through it, it ain't about the other one. You dealing with principalities, dark spirits in heavenly places. You understand what I'm saying to you? And the enemy sits back in the corner and go, yeah, it's because of that. Yeah, it's because of that. You tell him. You tell her. But the reality is that's not the problem. The next time that you know you love your spouse and your spouse love you, ain't no doubt about it, stop going at each other and go with the enemy. Devil, I be darned. In the name of Jesus, everything that's not of God in this house has got to flee. Every demonic mentality, every demonic... You understand what I'm saying to you? You got to know who the culprit is. Now, it amazes me that so many people claim to be saved, but don't know that they can't remember they got an enemy. So I want you to catch this. I got another question for you. This is going to, and don't lie, because you're in church. And you shouldn't lie outside of church, but if you lie in church, you're really bold. I want you to answer this, you too. I want you to answer this, and I want you to answer it honestly, and it ain't no judgment on you. This is to help, okay? How many of us in here, and I ain't talking about, when I say this, I ain't talking about skim through something. Listen to what I said. How many of you in here, how many of us in here study the Bible every day? I didn't say read. I said study the Bible every day. Put your hands up. Now, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. Now, come here. I want you to see this. I want you to see this. I want everybody to see. I want everybody. Well, keep them hands up. I want everybody to look around. How is our church doing? Because last I checked, did you get to see it? I think it was two hands. Did you count it? Okay. Because you was over, I wanted you to make sure you saw it. I saw it. Okay. Two hands. Nice amount of people in this room. Let me ask you another question. How many of you are attacked by the enemy daily? Okay, keep your hands up. But how many of those that are attacked by the enemy daily read the word daily? How do you expect to survive? Now, if this is the ratio of our devotionals, of our studying the word every day, this explains everything else that we're having, all the other problems that we're having in the church. This explaining why giving is down. This explains why it took 7 years to finally get, 7 years, isn't that sad? 7 years to get every position in the church that was necessary filled. And here's the hook on that. We don't really know how that long that's going to last, because we done had people sign up numerous times before. In fact, can I just go ahead and be 100? We had people that signed up gung-ho last week that ain't here today. We have no reason to believe that everybody that signed that list is going to keep their word. Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you about the health of the church? But don't trip. This is the health of the church in most churches. And there's only a few churches that have an actual healthy DNA that they're operating in. Now here's the thing. All this can change. All this can change immediately. And this is what blows my mind. Everybody prides themselves on being real. How many of y'all pride yourself on being a real person? You just keep it real. Don't go on. It ain't no trick. I ain't tricking you. Go ahead. Tell the truth. You pride yourself on being a real person. So how is it that you can be a real person, but you can't be real about God? In them streets, there's just some things that we wouldn't have done. There's, you want to, so watch this. There's some, what do you know? There were some times that we claimed sets that we would never step over. We claimed gangs. We claimed, a vile existence, and we would never betray it. Be ready to die for it. But we get in church and don't mind betraying God by sleeping with the enemy all day long. Anytime that you sin and you sin willfully, in other words, you know that you're sinning, you are sleeping with God on purpose. I mean, with the enemy on purpose. But you was truer to things that led us to prison. We was truer to things that put holes in our body. We was truer to things that had us so addicted that we couldn't even properly take care of our children. We was truer to those things than we are to the God that saved us when we should be dead for half the things that we've done to ourselves. Now I got another question. I want to show you, and don't lie, because God knows. How many of you know that when it's crazy to go to God? Put your hands up. If you know when it's crazy to go to God, and you go to God when it's crazy, how many of you go to God when it's crazy? But you don't read the word every day. That's called usury. That's called usury. I'll go to him for everything that I need, but I won't go to him just to chill with him. I'll go to him when it's getting crazy, but I won't go to him when I'm blessed. And I want you to understand, beloved, it will never work out this way. It will never work out this way. And I don't know. I hear you. I don't know, but the Lord is telling me to say this. He said, there's a special kind of hell for people who try to play me. I don't know who's supposed to receive that. He said, I have a special kind of hell for people who try to play me. I don't know where that came from. Lord, have mercy. I know where it came from. I just don't know what it's about. Until you stop, Lord, have mercy. Until you stop preventing the word of God from dwelling deep down on the inside of you, until you not just read the word, but study the word and apply the word of God to your lives, nothing in your life will change. And the Lord put this on my heart this morning, and I want you to catch this. He said this. He told me to tell you this. Do not be deceived. You can be living a great life according to you and your standards, but if your life isn't governed by God, you are not living your best life. In other words, you could be doing it. You could be balling. All your dreams could be coming true. You could be doing it. Finally got it the way you want it. Headed to hell. Headed to hell. Your best life is being obedient to God. And here in the earth realm, knowing that your salvation is secure, knowing that when you leave this earth, you are going to see Jesus. That's your best life. I need you to understand that until you take on the mind of God, you cannot live godly. So it is safe to say that we've only got about four people in the building that's living godly. And if it's a lie, you told it, because you raised your hand. And didn't raise your hand. So if it's a lie, you told it, not me. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We're out of here. I want you to catch this. This is the CSB version, Christian Study Bible. This is why we constantly thank God, because when you receive the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly is, the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe. Well, you can't believe what you don't read because you don't know it. Think of that right there. I believe it. How do you know you believe in Jesus if you don't read the word of God? How do you know that your life isn't in constant contrariness? Contrariness, is that a word? It is today. Put it in my dictionary. How do you know that your life isn't in total contrariness to the word of God if you don't read it? You know what was so mind-blowing to me while I was sitting in prison reading the Bible? I didn't know that I was so messed up. I thought that was a good thing I was doing. I thought I was a shoo-in. I began to read the Bible and began to understand. Boy, you are headed to a burning hell. You understand me? I want to show you the amplified version of this same verse. This is mind-blowing right here. 5 minutes, we out. And we also especially thank God continually. We ain't just saying, you ever get your light bill paid and you didn't have the money to pay it? Thank you, Jesus. And that's all you say. And then you get on the phone, girl, I didn't know how I was going to pay that bill. And then all of a sudden, such and such came through and paid that bill. Ain't God good? But you didn't tell, girl, you know, I slept with such and such that wasn't my husband. And he gave me $47 on my light bill. And it didn't get... If I'm telling the truth, just clap your hands. Yeah. You know why you don't continually thank God for the things that you get? Because they ain't from God. Why would I continually thank somebody that didn't do nothing for me? Some of these relationships that we've been in, what you thanking God for? God wasn't in them, and it was proven that God wasn't in them. The Lord said, be very careful. The Lord said, you, be very careful. Yeah, yeah. You had a thin line in your life. The Lord said, just now, he just said, tell you, be very careful. Be very careful. Yeah. How you gonna thank somebody for something they didn't give you? And you know why you don't thank him? You know why you don't? Because you know you feel bad trying to thank him, knowing he had nothing to do with it. Because when you say thank you, what you're saying is thank. What you saying? Thank you for the sin that allowed me to do this, that, and the other. You don't feel right asking God, saying thank you, God, to what the enemy had part in. Let me finish this verse. And we also especially thank God continually for this, that when you receive the message of God, which you heard from us, you notice it's the message of God. You're just hearing it from me. It's not mine. Don't worship me. Worship God. Which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of mere men. I'm just a mere man. But as it truly is, the word of God. That's how you received it, as the word of God, which is effectually at work in you who believe. So some of us are trying to figure out why this isn't working. It's simple. The answer was just read to you. You don't believe. You believe in you more than you believe in God. That's why you do you instead of going to God when all hell break loose. That's why you pick up the phone and call people when crazy things happen in your life rather than get on your face first and ask God for direction. Because not only do you believe in you, you believe in the people on the other end of the phone more than you believe in God. Tell the truth and shame the devil. How many in here has actually, when hell hits your life, you don't hit the floor, you hit the phone? I can't believe this. Well, whoever you calling ain't going to be able to get you through it. And how many of you understand that? The Bible says that God is a jealous God. Do you ever think that God takes that personal? What you calling pastor for? And you ain't talked to me yet. What you calling him for? And you ain't had a discussion with me. What you getting upset with him for? Huh? Because he ain't answering his phone. Don't you know he's a whole human? I'm the one that you're supposed to call in the midnight hour. I'm the one that you're supposed to call when it's all crazy. I'm the one that you're supposed to lean and depend on. You've got your priorities mixed up, baby. You've got the roles switched up. And what you're going to mess around and do is make Pastor Lyons operate in a way that he ain't supposed to appease you. And now Pastor Lyons is on his way to hell too. The devil is a lie. God's business is God's business. My business is here. Whew. Get this, he says, but the word of God, which is effectually at work in those who believe, exercising its superhuman power in those who adhere and trust and rely on it. He says there is a superhuman power when you begin to adhere to God. You know what the word adhere means? One definition says to believe and follow the practices of. I liked another definition that I found, though, and it said adhere also means to stay attached, to something so that you can have a superhuman power. Lord, have mercy. Oh, God. When all hell break loose. I'm not attached to Miriam when hell's breaking loose. She got my back. I got hers and all of that. I'm wise enough to know that she ain't who I need to go see. Now, I talked to her afterwards. But he comes first. What's the gist of today? What's the gist of today? What's the gist of today? If we're going to be, and we are a community, we are a community. We see each other every week. We're a community. If we're going to be healthy, we got to get in the Word of God. Hear what I'm saying to you. We got to get out of our feelings, and we got to get in the Word of God. And we can't just get in and just say that we read. It's not about quality. It's not about quantity. It's all about quality. It's all about quality. What's the difference between a reader and a studier? A notebook. It's time that we get to the point to where we're taking notes on what we read. And if you don't understand it, reach out. Ask the Lord for, before you read the Bible, pray and ask God for understanding of the Bible. And when you read it and you don't get an understanding and you know that you've prayed and you've asked, and then say, you know what, how the Lord has blessed me? There's people I can actually call, email, text, inbox, and they can help me through this. Bless God, because he's still God. He's still providing. You see what I'm saying to you? The only way, and we're on our way, look around this building. We're on our way. We're on our way to being what it is that God has called us to be. But the only way we're going to be able to sustain it is by being in the Word of God. Why the Word of God will help the church grow? Because it gets away from all the silliness. The Word of God will push away all the foolishness. That's why when people confront me or say things to me that's not of the Lord, and I just bring the Word back and say, is that the Word? Let's kill that, because that ain't the Word. The attitude has always got to be the Word of God. I haven't had a conversation with a person in here, a man or a woman, where you haven't heard me say at least three times in a conversation, well, the Bible says. The Bible says. The Bible says. Because that has to be the attitude of the believer. Amen?